Geek of the North, number 48.
Coming to you from Northern Michigan, this is Geek of the North with Mike Dowd, your weekly look at the geeky things we all enjoy. Geek of the North is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Here's your host, Mike Dell.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the range once more.
And yep, I'm back. This is Mike. This is Geek of the North, number 48 for March 28th, 2013. And I can't really remember when the last time I did a proper Geek of the North podcast. I do believe it was sometime before Christmas of last year. So enough on that. I'm not going to dwell on it. I just wanted to acknowledge it. I think the last time I put anything out on this feed was from Vegas, or just before going to Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. Since then, I've kind of taken the winter off of podcasting, and it's officially not winter anymore, so I figured I better get back to it. Today's episode is brought to you by Citrix GoToMeeting. When your entire team can come together, it's amazing what can get accomplished. Projects that take weeks, decisions that take days are sometimes done right then and there. But gathering everyone together from different locations can be time-consuming, expensive, and often plain impossible. That's why we at Raw Voice use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It makes it easy for the entire team to get together online. If you know anything about Raw Voice, everybody lives in a different city, and to get everybody together happens maybe once a year, or maybe more than once, depending on the situation. But the rest of the time, we use Citrix GoToMeeting, and it's, you know, whenever you need to, no matter how far away people are. I mean, we've got one guy in Hawaii, a guy in New York, somebody in Colorado, somebody in a couple of them in Ohio, a couple of them in Michigan, and, you know, we all get together, and it's kind of like being in the same room. It's pretty cool. With GoToMeeting, you can share the same screen, you can stay on the same page, and with the built-in HD video conferencing, it makes your online meetings just like being in the same room. Plus, it's simple to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, smartphone, or tablet. You can even present from your iPad. We love GoToMeeting. And we at Raw Voice use it all the time. In fact, Todd, our CEO, keeps keeps a GoToMeeting session going most of the time when he's in his office, and we can just pop in and out as needed to work on things. They have their weekly meetings that way, and it just works out really good for us. As a listener here at Geek of the North, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's unlimited meetings. That's unlimited usage time for a full 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. That gives us credit for sending you there. Remember to use the promo code PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com. And for those of you who are not familiar with Geek of the North, I'm Mike Dell, and I do Geek of the North. I also do Podcasting Tech Coach over at PodcastingTechCoach.com. That's kind of a how-to on podcasting and podcast production and website setup and all that good stuff. And then I just relaunched Mike Dell's World. That's kind of my personal podcast. That's over at MikeDell.com. And I like to cover kind of the offbeat side of technology. I kind of like to cover aviation, farming technology, automotive. I guess that's sort of mainstream. And, you know, and I do some mainstream stuff too. But I really like the kind of offbeat side of technology and, you know, some of the more, you know, because everything is technology. You think about it. Everything's technology. You know, the technology for making a shovel to dig a hole. I mean, that's technology. I don't quite talk about shovels most of the time, but everything's technology. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a computer, a smartphone, a tablet, a camera, you know, that kind of thing. It can be something totally different. And one of the stories I had lined up I want to talk about is the Boeing 787. Over on CNET, they had a write-up about it. I'll have a link to everything I talk about in the show notes over at geekinthenorth.com. But the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, it came online, I think, October of last year with All Nippon Airways out of Japan. And so far, there's about 50 of them that were in service, and they were all grounded in January. I'm trying to see what, yeah, on January 17th, they were all grounded after a few mishaps with the batteries overheating and catching fire. The unique thing about the 787 Dreamliner is that the batteries run pretty much everything. And what I mean by that is the APU on most airliners is another little jet engine. It's a you know auxiliary power unit, I guess they call it, but it's a little tiny jet engine. So if, you know, if it's a like a 767 or a 737 or something like that, they got two main engines, and the main engines, you know, when they're running, provide air and for the pressurization and air conditioning and heating, and they provide you know, of course, thrust, duh, you know, but that's their main job. But and they also provide electrical power that powers all the instrumentation, the lights, the coffee maker, everything. And on the on, like I said, on a traditional jet, they have a jet engine, a smaller, you know, like, you know, the difference between the engine in your car and a lawnmower engine. Well, same idea. It's a little jet turbine engine that runs a little air compressor and generator, and that's the APU. So when the airplane's parked at the gate, they don't have to run the big engines to have power and air conditioning and whatnot on the airplane, and it also starts the bigger engines. You know, the APU is small enough where it can start off a battery, but the bigger engines, they start with bleed air that is compressed off of the APU and spins the jet over and all that. But all this to say that the Dreamliner took a departure from that sort of technology, and instead they have an all-electric APU system, which means they have a really huge honking battery. It's a thing, I don't know how long it can run on the battery, but it runs long enough that, you know, they're sitting at the ramp loading and unloading the plane and all that, they can run off the battery, and they can, of course, start the engines off the battery. And everything on that airplane is electric. It's the airplane's made of composite materials, not nearly as much metal and aluminum like a traditional airplane. And to lighten everything up, they did away with a lot of the traditional ways of doing things. And it's lightened the aircraft up and makes the 787 more fuel efficient, too. And, you know, you're not burning jet fuel in the APU. But they had problems with the batteries. They were lithium-ion batteries, which has never been in aviation before the Dreamliner. And, you know, it's the same type of battery that's in laptops and cell phones. You know, they're smaller and lighter for the same amount of power. But, like I said, the amount of power that these things need, these things are huge. And they've had a couple of problems with thermal runaway, where, you know, the things get hot. Each individual cell, you know, and they get hot and overheat and melt down and all that. And, you know, it's not a good thing. You know, they've had fires in the planes, a couple of planes, and, you know, their fire containment system around the battery box has been sufficient. And, you know, of course, nobody's been hurt, but FAA decided to ground the whole fleet. And when they did, of course, you know, everybody's that bought them has really, really expensive airplanes sitting on the ground. Well, a couple of days ago, on March 25th, they flew a 787 owned by Lott Publish Airlines, and they flew that out of their Everett, Washington facility, Boeing. And it, you know, they redesigned the battery so that all the little cells are further apart, I guess, was what the engineers come up with. And like I said, it was a successful flight. It flew for about 2 hours, I believe. They're going to analyze all the flights ahead of getting them to, you know, get them back in the air. Hopefully, it won't take them too long because, you know, those things cost them a lot of money and it kind of stinks that they've got to be sitting on the ground. But anyway, I'll have a link in the show notes to all of that about the 787 Dreamliner. Something totally different. See, that's like for those of you that haven't listened to Geek of the North, this is how it goes. Just kind of laid back, relaxed, and talk about weird stuff. I don't know how technology related this is, but it is a interest to me. The John Deere Model 110 lawn tractor is celebrating 50 years. And let's see, the John Deere was originally, the John Deere 110, which was the first lawn and garden tractor built by John Deere Manufacturing, and their facility was there in Horicon, there we go, Horicon, Wisconsin, and they started building them in 1963, and the tractor's been kind of a classic. They stopped making them, I believe, in 1974, the original 110s. Back in the day, you could get a 110 for somewhere around $1,000, which is pretty good considering. I mean, a lot of the lawn tractors nowadays you can get for, you know, $1,500, but they're not nearly as good as the John Deere 110. Basically, what the John Deere 110 was a full-size tractor shrunk down, pretty much. You know, there were some things on it, like you don't have belt drive on a traditional tractor, but you know, basically the thing was built like that. I have two of them. I have a 1969 model 110 and a 1972 or 3. I haven't been able to figure it out. Serial numbers are a little weird, but, you know, they're a tough tractor. The newer of the two that I have runs perfectly. The other one, the engine is bad in it, but the tractor itself is just as solid as it ever was, so. I have all good intentions of getting it put back together and restored, the older one. It was bought brand new by my grandfather back in the day, and my dad used it for, you know, 20-plus years. It even blew the snow out from the blizzard of 78. If anybody's familiar with the Midwest, we had a big blizzard in 1978, And that lawn tractor with a snowblower attachment was what cleaned out my dad's driveway. Well, anyway, it's sitting back behind my barn right now, waiting to be restored. But what brought all this up was I ran across a story in the Machine Finder news that they're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the production of the John Deere 110 lawn tractor. Which will be at the in the original town there in Wisconsin. And it'll be from the 26th to the 28th. It welcomes all models of John Deere lawn and garden tractors, but the focus will be on the 63 model 110. And it'll be neat. It'll be a lawn tractor show, an exhibition, a swap meet, a lawn and garden memorabilia display, blacksmith demonstrations, and, of course, photo ops. And this will be quite a niche event for those of us that like the John Deere's. I might try to get over there. That might be fun. I don't nowhere. That town in Wisconsin. I don't know exactly where that is in Wisconsin, but should be able to get over there, maybe. We'll see. But I'll have a link to that story about the John Deere 110 50th anniversary get-together there. So it should be pretty cool. And to totally switch topics again, people over at Korg, if you're familiar with them, Korg, K-O-R-G, they make a lot of musical instrument accessories, including, you know, guitar tuners and so on and so forth. But anyway, they sent me over HTG2, there we go, sent me over an HTG2 guitar tuner to check out and review, and I kind of done that, except for I don't play guitar, but since I do play banjo, and banjo only uses the three notes for all their five strings. You got two on G, two on D, and one on B. So it shouldn't be. It wasn't a problem because that matches up with the guitar tuning. But this guitar tuner kind of looks like the head of a guitar, and when you clip it to the headstock, you pluck a string, the light lights up with, you know, that corresponds with where you would tune it on your guitar. And then there's a little meter in the middle that you put the dot in the middle by adjusting your string, and you can adjust all six strings that way. When I did it on the banjo, of course, I only needed three of the six notes to tune, but it worked really well, and it is kind of cool. Looks a little funny on a banjo with a guitar-looking headstock thing, but it's one of those little clip-on tuners, and you can get those over at Korg.com/headtune, and I think they're about $20, but very cool. They sent me one of those over, and I'll be using that for a while. I have another Korg tuner that tunes just about anything. Oh, the other thing about this is they make one for bass guitars, which has all the string dots all in a line that looks like a bass guitar. And they also make one for ukulele. So that's very, very neat. Now, see, I need to email them back and say, hey, make me a banjo one. So, and you don't want to hear me play banjo. I call it, I'm an attempted banjo player, not really a good banjo player. And one thing in the more traditional realm, Google came out with a new app in service that I think is going to put Evernote on notice. That you know, those of you that like Evernote, this service called Google Keep is kind of similar. It's definitely not as involved, I guess. It's not quite as how do I say it? It's not, you know, not as quite as feature-packed as Evernote, but it does basically the same thing. And for what I use Evernote for, this will completely replace it. Right now, they've only got an Android version of it and then a web version of it. If you want to check it out on the web, you go to drive.google.com/keep. It's all part of the Google Drive, or what used to be called Google Docs. But on the phone, it's really neat. You hit the microphone button, you can talk into it, and I use that function a lot. Talk into it, and it'll transcribe it into text and save the recording. So if you want to leave notes for yourself and all that, it's just very simple, does what it's supposed to do app. And I've got it on my phone, and like I said, I like it for that purpose. You know, when I'm driving down the road, you know, I'm working as a courier part of the time, And you know, I spend a lot of windshield time, and you know, you can't text or type or screw around with your phone while you're driving down the road. With this, you just hit the microphone button and say your note, and it saves it. And you can later on go back and color code and correct. And you know, the little interface kind of looks like the Windows 8 Metro, you know, the tiles and whatnot. And it's very, very useful for me. Like I said, I like just being able to take simple notes, and it syncs it, you know, between my Nexus 7 and my Nexus phone and on the website. And that way, you know, wherever I'm at, I can set these notes. But, you know, what I like it for, it's kind of a strange reason, but what I like it for is I'm driving down the road and a truck passes me, or I see a road sign or something that says, check out blah, blah, blah. Well, of course, oh yeah, I better check out blah, 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 you know, and whatever it was. But then I always forget. So if I just, you know, quick throw it into keep as I'm going down the road, and when I get home, I can look through all my notes and check out the things I want to check out. Or if I come up with a great idea, which happens from time to time, I can just record it right there. You know, I know there's other apps for that, and you know, Evernote does that, of course. But you know, now that it's on Google and it's simple, that's what I'm going to use. So that's Google Keep. Again, you want to find out more about that, I'll have a link to the blog post, and there's a nice little video that shows you how it works. I'll have that in the show notes on this post. It'll be geekofthenorth/48. I think I'm going to start doing that too. So all my episodes will be that simple URL. And then to do that, I'm using a thing called Pretty Links. I'm using the light version, but it's on WordPress. So if you want to do that, you just you can take a long URL and make it short. You know, not like the bit.ly type shorteners, but this is kind of your own thing. And works out very nice. Well, that's all I really got today. I know it's kind of a short show coming back, but if you got any stuff you want me to check out, drop me an email or whatever. The announcement at the end of the show will tell you how to get a hold of me. For now, this is episode 48 of Geek of the North.
If you would like to contact Mike, email mike@mikedell.com or go to the website at www.geekofthenorth.com. That's all, folks.